It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. We studied down through the sixth verse, but it ties in too closely together. We're going to just back up and start at the first verse, Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, and then we're going to read the chapter. So please open your Bibles to that chapter and book and verse, and then we'll begin to read here in just a few minutes. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that you would take time to write or to check the website out, and you can email us from there if you'd like. I would love to hear from you, and now we'll begin the study. Exodus chapter 17, beginning to read with verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and says, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord and said, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, and wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and stayed up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, "Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Let's begin with prayer now. Father, I thank you that we can come and have this study. Please guide and lead us as we look through your word and we search your word, we study your word. We want to know your way and will. There's much to learn today, as always, every time we come together. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to read your word, to study your word. It's just a wonderful opportunity we have to grow closer to you. So please today, dear Lord, that we will do just that. The ones that are listening today, dear Lord, that do not know you as their Savior, please today that they will come. They will look to you. They will depend upon you for their salvation. There is no other name under heaven whereby one can be saved except the name of Jesus. Please, dear Father, that they would come to you and trust in you by faith, and salvation can be owned and possessed by them because they have come by faith to you. Please that that take place today. And dear Father, as the beginning always says, we need to come to know, that's inviting Jesus Christ into your heart, and coming to grow, and that is after you're saved, to search the Word, study the Word, come together with us as we study the Word, that we may grow together and be more like you, Lord Jesus. Now please guide and lead us today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful day and what a wonderful opportunity we have to study God's Word. And you know, as we're looking here, we find just picture after picture, and it's going to continue and become stronger and clearer as we come towards the tabernacle. So be prepared and just don't miss a study, please, that you will enjoy this time together with us. Now, as we look at these first few verses, and forgive me for not being able to say that name, it's Rephidim, and I don't know why I couldn't get that out, but I sure couldn't. And then I had trouble with it on the other verses towards the end as well. And so some days I do that. There's just some names that I just can't quite pronounce. But I'm here to try, and that's all we can do is just each day look to God's Word and enjoy that study. And so please forgive me for not being able to pronounce some of those names properly. But it's not from a lack of effort. As we look now, we find that these people begin to murmur. You know, that's they're the most murmuring people we can imagine. And yet, please don't be real critical with these folks, because we're just like them. We just immediately, when the first time of trial and tribulation come, and instead of looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ for wisdom, and you know, we have, because Jesus Christ has went to the cross of Calvary, died upon the cross, and has risen again, because of that, we now can go right to the Father, and we have that picture by the veil being torn, being rent in two from the top to the bottom. Now we no longer need, we can come right to God the Father, because we have the Advocate, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and so we can go right to the Father now with our prayers. And what a wonderful opportunity that we have as a child of God to be able to go right unto God our Father as we direct our prayers, our requests, our praises, our thanksgiving, all those things. And sad to say, our murmurings as well seem to find their way up to Him, and very quickly. These people, they followed the Lord's direction, and if you look on a map, and no one knows exactly where some of these places be found, but there is an idea, and it's down in Sinai, the land of Sinai. And if you look, you know, you hear of Mount Sinai, that's where Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments and received the law and the plans to the tabernacle and all those things. So you hear about the mount. Well, this land of Sinai, if you go down towards the southern tip, the southern part of it, you'll find that some believe, most I believe that that is where you'll find this Rephidim. It's down in that area there. And so as we look down into that southern area, you'll find that they have come down along the sea, and as they found their way down the sea, and then following the cloud, the Shekinah glory cloud, you see, they're not just wandering aimlessly through this wilderness. There's a plan, and God is that plan, and God is taking care of them as they go from place to place, and He is leading them down through this wilderness journey. And there's a reason why it takes them 40 years to get out, and that, of course, is disobedience. Here we find that they're murmuring, a chiding even was a word that was used here, and it's so sad that they just refuse to follow after the will of God and the Word of God and trust in it. But again, oh, please, just look to yourself, look at me. It's the same thing. We get to a point, and we just follow after the Lord, and we do so well. And then about that time, why, here slips in a little trial and tribulation. These people found no water, and they immediately begin to come against Moses, to come against Aaron. You know, it's something that Moses didn't feel like he was capable of leading the people. He said, I'm a poor at speech, I can't do that. And finally the Lord said, all right, take Aaron. Well, we're going to find that Aaron was trouble for him. It wasn't a blessing at all. It was a lack of faith, a lack of trust that Moses had, because Moses didn't believe that he could do what God has asked him to do. Well, God will never ask you to do something He isn't capable of supplying the abilities, supplying those needs that you have. He can supply every one. So please never think that you're going to be, God's going to have you do something you're not capable of doing. That's not going to happen. God called Moses to lead the people, and Moses didn't think he could do it. Well, by himself he couldn't, but with God's power and strength he surely could. But each time you'll notice that they come back against Moses. It's everywhere. I think there's once or twice at the mention of against Aaron and Moses. But most of the time, it's directed towards Moses. It says, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you chide against me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Why don't you just go before the Lord with your requests, with your burden, and He will supply the need? But instead of that, why, they came back with the same old saying, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? We have heard this so many times, you know, whether it's the enemies of Pharaoh, as he would come with his soldiers, whatever it might be. There's always something here. We have the lack of food. There's just always something that the people are always complaining about. This time it's thirst. This time it's water. This time they needed something to drink, and that's what they were looking for. They needed something to drink. And so you see right now, as we're to this place, and Moses cries unto the Lord. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, they shouldn't have cried against Moses. They shouldn't have complained to Moses. They should have come unto Moses and said, Moses, please, will you pray unto our God? Or they could have prayed unto their God themselves. They wouldn't have had to go through Moses. But instead of that, they complained to Moses, and Moses turned unto the Lord. What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. That was the condition that the people were in. They were thirsty. They were thirsty. But you know, when we get down and out and we get to that bottom, then we complain and moan and groan and harp and everything else. And here is the place of almost threatening Moses' life, or at least that's what Moses felt like anyway. And the Lord said to Moses, all right, go on before the people, take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, remember this rod, and that's a rod that's going to end up with the manna. You know, it isn't. It's a rod that Aaron's going to have, but there's quite a bit of talk about the rods in the Bible, isn't there? You know, spare not the rod, spare the rod, spoil the child. We have many things talked about there, and but when we get to the place of the Ark of the Covenant, we have the manna. You know, we've just discussed that in the last chapter that's going to be put there. We have a rod, but it's the rod of Aaron, because each one, they choose who will be the high priest. God chooses. It's the staff that's next to the one. And Of course, God chooses it. It buds, brings forth fruit. And then, of course, we have the Ten Commandments. They're going to be placed in there, too. But this rod is a rod that Moses has always carried. It's a rod that he laid down, turned into a snake in when he was before Pharaoh. It's the rod he lifted up in part of the Red Sea. There is much that God uses with this rod. He said, take that rod, and I want you to do something. And he wanted to know, they almost are ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, and take it in thine hand, and go. So he was specific about what he was to do. And behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And so as we look here, we find wherewith thou smotest the river. So it was a specific the rod that he had. Take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee. Remember the wonderful power of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, this Shekinah glory cloud that is present before them here, leading them every inch of the way. And we're not sure whether this cloud come over and set right over the top of this rock, but it was specific very clear. Behold, I will stand before thee. I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb. So however it was displayed, it was evident that it was God himself. It was the Lord that is doing this. And I want you to take it, and I want you to smite the rock. And there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, we're going to take a look here because we have many verses of Scripture that talk about this water, this living water. And we need to see this, and there is a reason for the smiting of that rock. And so let's go now. We're going to look at a few verses of Scripture, and then we'll come back and we will take a look then once again at this sixth verse. And so please with me turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I hope that you are, if you're driving, why please don't take your hands off the wheel, but if you do have the opportunity to sit and study with me today, why go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read the first four verses, and you think, well, we're all the way into the New Testament, and so, you know, we have traveled some 1,500, almost 1,600 years from the time we're looking here at Exodus. Well, we love the Word of God because it's the continuity that we have between verses of Scripture that help us. You know, Scripture confirms Scripture. Man does not confirm Scripture. You know, it doesn't matter whether we believe it because it is true. It is God's Word. Now, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now this rock here that is smitten, understand that if the rock had not been smitten, there would not be any living water for us to possess, for us to have. If Jesus Christ had not died, been crucified upon the cross of Calvary, if he had not been smitten, there would not be any life, no living water. See this connection. on in Numbers. We're going to find him coming to a situation much like this. But God is going to give Moses a different instruction. That's a problem because Moses doesn't listen. And I want you to listen today because he is to speak to the rock in Numbers. Here he is to strike the rock because Jesus Christ did die on the cross of Calvary, but he only died once. He does not die over. He's not crucified over and over again. He was crucified once, and all of our sins were taken away. What a wonderful picture. And here it speaks of that rock being the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to back up just a minute here, and I want you to see I would not have you to be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud. This is the Shekinah glory cloud that God is talking about here. And all passed through the sea. Remember, the Red Sea was divided. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat of the same spiritual meat. Remember the quail that was sent. Remember the manna that was sent every day for that 40 years. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. Now here, you know, we know in Exodus it was a physical rock that Moses struck. But it was such a wonderful picture as the elders of Israel watched upon, witnessed this time as Moses struck the rock, because if it had not been struck, there'd be no water. And if Jesus Christ had not died on the cross of Calvary, there would be no life. There'd be no living water from the Lord Jesus. And it continues. The rock that followed them, the rock was Christ. So please, don't miss that. The rock was Christ. And so we have the manna being the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the living, the water that's coming forth out of this rock is the living water. And what a spiritual picture that we have here. A literal example, a spiritual picture. Please don't miss that. Let's go back to Psalms now. Psalm 61. I want you to see that. Psalms chapter 61. We're going to look at the first two verses of that chapter. Psalms 61, verse 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The rock being Jesus Christ. What a picture here. What a life-giving picture when you see Jesus Christ and him crucified. There is life, there is living water for us to drink that will bring us everlasting life. Psalm 78, verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the higher God their Redeemer. The rock, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. On back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I hope you know your Bible, that you can find your way quickly through it. I do not have these verses of Scripture written down. I'm looking them up in the Bible, so hopefully you will find time to work so that you know God's Word, that you can turn from place to place immediately. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which is which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. What a sad day when folks do not trust in the cross of Calvary. A sad day when you can't see the connection with this rock of Horeb as Moses comes forth after the chiding and the murmuring and the complaining of the children of Israel. Moses calls upon his God, God, what shall I do? These people are about to stone me. What shall I do? He says, you go take your rod, the rod that you held up and divided the sea with. You take that rod and you go to a place that I'll show you. And he showed him that rock and he said, smite that rock. And he did. And water came forth for all the people of Israel to have to drink. All they wanted, living water. It's what happens the day that you and I trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That living water begins to come, begins to flow. We have the bread of life. We have the living water. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please today trust in Him. What wonderful verses of Scripture. Only with it being smitten could it bring forth life-giving water. They felt they were going to die. They thought death was certain because there was no water to be found. And now they are alive, living. In the same way, we need to get into the condition of our heart. We're dead. We're not dying in our trespasses and sin. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. So we need to be born again. And I hope that you come by faith to Jesus Christ. And I hope that you are born again. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. Please don't miss that. You know, we keep things very simple. We keep things very, very clear. We want you to see Jesus Christ. We don't clutter it with a lot of programs. We study the Word of God verse by verse. We preach the Word of God verse by verse so that you will never miss the way of salvation, which is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Savior. I hope that there's no question that about your salvation. It is so easy, so simple to be saved. But it's more than just saying the words from your mouth. It's you recognizing that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need Jesus as your Savior. And only as the Spirit of God, as He comes and touches your heart and shows you that you're lost and you're dying in your trespasses and sin, please today that you see that there is no hope for you. And at the same turn, God the Son, through the Spirit of God, He will show you the way to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for salvation. He doesn't leave you. I've talked to you several times about what the psychologists to do of this world. They can show you what's wrong. They'll dig down into your old soul, or try to anyway, and they'll dig down from you onto your parents and onto your grandparents and onto your great-grandparents, and they'll find some reason and excuse for your condition, but they can't do anything about it. They can give you medication for it. They can give you some direction, but that direction is not the right direction unless they have shown you to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only way that can lift you from the depths of that old grave unto victory and on to heaven to live with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, that you recognize you're dying in your trespasses and sins. You need Jesus Christ. And I keep using that dying. We are physically dying, but spiritually we're dead. You need to be made alive in Jesus Christ today. The rock. I spent most of the time today, we didn't even get on here to talking about this group of Amalek, we have just stayed with the rock because I wanted to. I don't want you to miss that today. You know, a lot of times we'll just make one simple, one clear point, and that's what we've done today. And we have shown you Jesus Christ, the rock of your salvation. Please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?